Blog Talk Radio.
They're coming to get you, Barbara.
Show. My God. It takes a baseball bat to get us to do the show these days. Thanks for joining us, Cleavage. I'm glad you could like come into the studio a second before the show's on.
I dragged myself into my robe and dragged myself in.
Thanks for coming in. Thanks for coming in the studio. Appreciate that. Thank you so much. My God, I hate to burden you or anything. Anyway, guys, what's going on? This is Gore Girl, and you are listening to the Gore Girl Variety Hour. Sitting in the studio with me, enduring the hell that we create, is Tech Guy Yed.
Hello, Gore Girl. How are you this evening?
I'm fine, and I made it into the studio a little bit early. Unlike some people, like our other host, Cleavage. Hello, Cleavage.
A reluctant hello to you, Gore Girl.
Did it really take you that long to wrangle those babies this evening? Like, it took you that long to get them inside a, you know, some sort of cacophony thing you got going on?
I don't know if cacophony is the appropriate use there, but
what goes
good
on
word anyway.
What goes on in your chest is cacophony, I hate to tell you.
It does take some wrangling,
I've seen it do things. That's all I'm saying. I think the entire tri-state Chicago area has seen it do things.
Take some wrangling is all I'll say.
My God. Welcome to the show, guys. My God, we have an insane show tonight. I don't even know what's going on. We have a lot to talk about, and there's not even time to talk about it. We're getting back to the old ways, guys. Yes, yes, yes. Going back to an hour format. So tonight's show is only an hour, guys. We are switching back because we liked it better at an hour. It was faster. It was tighter, much like Cleavage. So...
Oh!
Tech Guy Yed does not oppose.
I'm not sure about tighter.
Oh! I was wondering what was whistling in the breeze. You heard something flapping.
Oh.
I heard some flapping. I wasn't sure. We had to tighten the shutters or something. Literally. Good time! Cleavage, this is what happens when you show up late. You become the show.
Ah, I see. So I am the
you become the thing.
Of the joke.
Yes, you become the thing that we literally narc on the entire show. Good time.
All right, well,
good
I'm ready.
Time.
Bring it.
Well, I know you're ready.
I'm always ready.
Oh my God! Well, like I said, we have a great show. We have a famous guest on tonight, guys. Her name is and I know. Excuse me. Stop. God, we can't even control Cleavage when she's in the studio. She shows up late. She's grabbing herself. She's doing stuff with the mic. I don't even know. I'm just so sorry. I apologize now for any VDs that you all may get through the show.
Thank God we don't have the camera on tonight.
Thank God. God, it's disgusting, people. It's disgusting, I tell you. They actually want to see now. What? Porn? What? Anyway, we have a famous guest on tonight, guys. I am excited to talk to her. She's going to be popping in the studio later just to talk to us. She's given us a little bit of her time and her busy schedule, so we are looking forward to speaking to her, Miss Andrea Vanscoyo. Yes, thank you. Everybody needs to clap. See, that if we had the applause, button. That would have been perfect, but we have to create our own applause. That's just, it's appalling, is what the applause is.
The producers need to give us more money.
That's what they need to do. Give us more money.
They actually need to get us into a better studio with power strips and everything.
Funny that you say that, Cleavage, because actually, guys, this is the second to last show we're doing. I believe next week is the last show that we're doing from this studio, correct?
I believe so.
Next week is the last show that we are doing from this studio.
Yay.
And then we're moving to a bigger, better, and more sonified studio. We will be doing the show in towels from now on. It's great. It's good times.
Haven't you always done the show in a towel, though?
Pretty much. Pretty much. But now I have, like, even more reason to stay naked. So,
okay.
Good times. No, so it's insane, guys. Next week is the last show we're doing from here. It's going to be our wham, bam, thank you, ma'am show, because we're getting the hell out of here. Yay! So, I don't know. We got a lot to talk about and such a little bit of time to talk about it. Let's jump right in. First of all, what we got for you is this has been a whirlwind couple of weeks for movies.
Whoosh.
Thanks for the sound effect.
It's a whirlwind.
A whirlwind couple of weeks. I'm telling you guys, the people are just popping horror movies out left, right, and sideways. And if you go to www.thatggshow.com, there is a list of upcoming 3D movies, as well as some highlights as to other movies that we're kind of digging right now. But there has been some really cool buzz going right now. I'm excited. And what is interesting, which is always fun when it happens, there's one movie I didn't care, I could care less to have seen, and I saw it, and it rocked. And then the movie I was so jazzed to see was still good, but it didn't squeeze my balls like I thought it would. So I don't know. It's just weird. And why are you guys giving me that look? What?
Normally when you say stuff like that, there's stories involved.
What happens in NAMM stays in NAMM. Don't talk about it. So, I don't know. Good times. And actually, something kind of interesting is that Miss Cleavage over here accompanied me. I'm like my last week's guest, Appalachian Mountain.
Uh-huh, you're from the Appalachian Mountain?
He totally has got me. I talked to him for hours after the show on the phone. And I can't cut the accent now. I don't know. I don't get it. Actually, no, I got to finish his story. He was begging me to finish the story, guys. It is awesome. Last week's guest was Stacey Allen McGee from Appalachian Ghost Walks. And the man, he's going to have to be a reoccurring guest. The man has never-ending stories. There's like, most people have like 10 really cool things that happen to them or like 15 bizarre things that happen to them in their life. This man, like, every day, something. It's something. Conspiracies and Bigfoot and you know, UFOs. And, I mean, there's something going on with this guy all the time. You know, messages from God. It's never ending. So we definitely have to bring him on in the future because he's got so many stories to share, and we just didn't have enough time to get to even a quarter of them. So his story last week, he didn't finish for you guys. We ran out of time, but I said I'd go ahead and put the couple sentences back on it. Anyway, he was saying with the whole story, I don't know if you tuned in last week, he was struggling to find out what he was doing, if he was on the right track, all that good stuff. Turns out he was, because a random priest was eating in the same restaurant as him, came up, slammed his fist on the table and said, "I don't know why, but God keeps telling me to tell you, yes, you're on the right track and keep going with what you're doing." He's like, "I don't know you. I don't know what you do, but I can't eat in peace until I tell you this." Turns out the priest actually had parked his vehicle way on the other side of this entire mall and was going to eat at another restaurant. And he claims that God spoke to him and told him to eat at this same restaurant. Take for it what you will, guys. Then he said, the end of his story, I'm going to do it real quick because, like I said, we're short on time, which I kind of like because, you know, the short on time works and it just makes things go faster. Oh, let it be, Cleavage. So it adds to the background. It adds to the ambience of the piece. Appalachian, ambience, a plaid. I don't know. Just take me to deliverance right now. Anyway, I can hear the banjos in the distance. So, yeah. You sure got a pretty mouth. So I'm like, okay, whatever, right? Well, the end of that story was the hunt he had done Right before that, with the little kids, he told a story that there was 8 little children ghosts in this one building. 6 of them were happy, 2 were unhappy. Kind of was trying to speak to them, you know, had some of his students there. They were doing an investigation. Turns out, after this priest happened, they reviewed audio and things. They sent a new group in there, did a new investigation a couple months after this. Turns out there were only 6 spirits in that house now. 6 happy spirits. So he got the 2 unhappy spirits to cross over. So that to him was his shining light that he's supposed to keep doing what he's doing. He wanted me to finish that. I wanted to finish it because I thought it was really cool. So there you go. There's your Appalachian story of the week. We should have a little deliverance music in the background and each week tell an Appalachian story. Makes no sense whatsoever. When I was up on the ridge and Pa used to bring me the corn. What? Good times. When you start seeing Burt Reynolds with a crossbow and a raft, you're done. It's over. Don't even worry no more. It's done. Just move along. So good times. Anyway, getting on with it. Let's jump right into this. I got to catch one-eyed monster. No, not the way it sounds. Not like that. I actually saw one-eyed monster. That Ron Jeremy movie I was telling you guys about.
You know what? It was on TV.
Yes. I got to catch it. I didn't get the very beginning, but I did catch over 3/4 of it. And there are parts that are a little slow, but for the most part, it is tongue-in-cheek humor, like they're saying. It's pretty funny. I mean, the one story, they find this guy in the woods who's a Vietnam vet, and he's, like, you know, all war-torn, just like, you know, the characters in all these other movies, these little stereotypes that they spin about the Vietnam vets. And, you know, the crazy guy with the crazy eyes and the gristle and all that. And he's like, oh, you know, I was back in the day. And they had asked him, they're like, have you ever fought a giant dick before? And he said, yes, one time. And they're like, when? And he's like, it was back in Nam. He tells this whole story about being back in Nam. And this killer penis killed his whole platoon. So he radioed in to the Saigon whores, and the helicopter brought the Saigon whores in, and he's like, you know, lay down and just spread your legs. So they did, and then apparently the giant killer penis drove in, pumped it, unleashed its load, fell kind of, you know, in a rest period. He grabbed it, threw it in a bunker, threw a grenade in, and he said it was raining dick for days or something like that. And I was like, what? Yes, I'm telling you right now, that is what this movie is about. It's about Ron Jeremy's penis coming off and being possessed by an alien entity and killing the entire, or almost the entire cast and crew of a porn they're shooting up in these desolate mountains. So it's really very funny. And I was laughing. I was like, oh, good times. Yeah. So it's that kind of show tonight, guys. It's that kind of show. It's a one-eyed monster type of show this evening. And we're just going to roll with it because I don't care. But you know what? I do have something awfully interesting. At the very end, I mean, the movie was funny. It was funny besides the slow parts. There is something that I totally didn't even know existed. Like, I didn't know this song existed. I knew there's videos and instructional videos, and I know people talk about it. Somebody made a song about it. I'm Jones because they play this at the end of One-Eyed Monster, and I cackled when I heard it. The song, guys, is Do the Kegel.
Woo!
Ready? Are you ready? And singing. Ready? There's an exercise that every woman needs. It's called the Kegel, the pelvic squeeze. It's great at any age. Let's make it all the rage. It's good for you, it's fun, and it's a breeze. You can do it in the bank or on the bus. You can do it with a minimum of fuss. Find the muscle you'd locate when you don't want to urinate, and squeeze, then relax. The Kegel, the pelvic squeeze. Come on with me, ladies, and Kegel, please. You'll adore your pelvic floor when you squeeze, and relax. I love how they throw in the, it totally doesn't rhyme, and relax. Like, what? Good times. You can Kegel when you're talking on the phone. You can Kegel together or alone. When you're with your lover. This trick is like no other. It's guaranteed to make your honeymoon. Oh, baby, do the Kegel, the pelvic squeeze. Come on with me, ladies, Kegel, please. You'll adore your pelvic floor when you squeeze, 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 and relax. Now here's the really motivating bit. A Kegel will put pressure on your clit. And once you've had a baby, it's time for saying maybe. Take my advice. Make Kegeling a habit. Let's round this puppy out. Ready? Do the Kegel. The pelvic squeeze. Come on, women, ladies. And Kegel, please. You'll adore your pelvic floor.
Oh, yeah.
When you squeeze, squeeze, squeeze. And relax.
Oh, yeah.
Best thing ever. I heard that song and I about pissed myself. That was amazing. This is the perverted show tonight. We're talking about...
If you would have squeezed your Kegel, that wouldn't have happened.
You know, I thought she had something really serious to say because her face was serious. And I'm looking at her like, oh my God, what? What happened? And then she says, I don't have a response, people. I don't have a response. It's just, that was good. That was good. Good times. I'm telling you, that's a new song. We're going to start singing that at conventions. I say we walk down the aisle singing it and do a chorus line. And we should all dress like ovaries or something. We should all dress like female anatomy body parts.
I'll be the uterus.
You could be the cleavage. There you go. Oh, my God. This is the perverted show this evening. This is what happens, guys, when we go back to an hour. Now we're like, give us insane songs. Moving on. Oh, my God. So we got to get into this. We got to get into this because I'm excited. It's a little movie review for you guys out there, okay? Chime in, people, if you're with me on this, or you've seen it, or you've been to the show and seen these, chime in. Okay, let's talk about the one that, no, I'm going to talk about the exciting one first, because the non-exciting one, that's 5 seconds. The exciting one, okay? I went to see Orphan. Okay, no. I went thinking, oh, I don't even want to see this. It's going to be like every other damn horror movie that's ever come out. It's the whole Bad Seed thing. It's like a mix of Audrey Rose. It's like, and then, you know, it's like The Omen. I started to think of, you know, remember Macaulay Culkin and, you know, when he was, you know, in The Good Son or whatever. So I started thinking about all this stuff, Bad Seed kind of movies. And I'm like, really? I mean, do we need another movie about a little kid that's, like, in some way evil, either possessed by evil, ordained evil, just born bad, gets into bad stuff, likes killing, whatever? Do we need another kid running around killing people? Like, how different is this movie going to be from any other movie, right? I'm thinking, yeah, whatever. But I'm like, you know what? I'm going to go see it because the audience needs the review. The audience needs to know to waste their money on this or to not, you know? So I'm like, all right, whatever. We're watching it. It's not a horror movie, so to speak. It's a very even keel kind of thing. There's a couple, you know, kind of gore scenes, but they're really not what you would expect in a normal horror movie. It's kind of like, you know, you're just going through like the other kind of thing.
Suspenseful.
Yeah. I don't know, that twin movie that came out back in, what was it, like 70, 71, The Other, remember that?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of like that, the story unfolding, you don't see too much, the camera makes up for other stuff. So anyway, you've all seen the posters, the tagline for this, There's Something Wrong with Esther, okay? And you're thinking, oh, she's born bad or something, or, you know, she didn't get her ice cream as a kid and just flipped, you know, something like that. You know, Malibu Barbie decapitated, you know, you're thinking all this crazy stuff, right? So I go see it, and I'm watching it. And, you know, you get about a quarter in, and you're like, okay, you know, I mean, it's keeping your interest because little things will happen. And you're like, well, that was kind of neat, or that was a neat, you know, that was kind of interesting how they did that. And the little girl, there's something about that actress. She is damn good. There's something very haunting about her.
Yes.
Her face, how she pulls off her features, the Russian accent she had. It was all very, you're kind of like, wow, she's better than a lot of kids I've seen in these movies,
she's
you know?
A lot of adults.
Yeah, she's better than a lot of people that I've seen in movies. So I'm like, okay, you know, so she keeps you interested. You're getting through it. Then you start getting into the suspenseful stuff. And, of course, the mom, you know, the dad's all, Esther's fine. She just has growing pains from being an orphan, because obviously she's an orphan. They adopt her, whatever, blah, blah, blah. They already have two other children, a boy and a little girl, and they adopt Esther. Esther's supposed to be 9 years old, blah, 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 all cute and pigtailed and whatever. So they adopt her, you know, as their third child because they lost their baby, whatnot. You're like, okay, this is a sad story. This is, you're getting into it. This is great. You hit the moment. You knew it was coming. You know, she's doing bad stuff. One of the parents gets suspicious and is now against her. You know, the mother's all, no, there's something wrong with Esther. And, you know, basically going off in that direction. You're like, okay, here we go. And then something's going to get revealed. Like she's Damien's sister or something, right? Then the end comes. All I can say is the teeth scene. Once that happened, I shuddered and went, that is the most disgusting thing I've ever seen in my life. And then I immediately flashed to 1974's Don't Look Now with Donald Sutherland. Oh, my God. I don't even want to ruin it for everybody. Let's just say I walked out of that movie going, that movie rocked. Because of what she ended up being. Oh, my God. And all I can say is horror fans out there, equate it to 1974's Don't Look Now. I'm telling you, I'm giving you a big clue if you've seen that movie. The end of that movie, when Donald Sutherland turns that girl around and what she is, that's what Esther is, guys. Follow it, go see the movie. So when that happened, when I found out that it wasn't the typical little kid story, it became this Don't Look Now story, I was like, hell yes, sign me up. I was like, that is a damn good turn. You don't see that anymore.
No
movies ever really did that. That Donald Sutherland movie did it. Other than that, no movies do it. No. But I'm telling you guys, when the teeth, all I'm going to say is the teeth.
Yeah.
When the teeth, that scene is when you figure it out. Holy crap!
And it is totally. I mean, usually I watch suspense and halfway through. I mean, Hitchcock is the only thing that ever gets me where I can't figure out the end halfway through.
My God,
this is a stumper. I used to figure it out. This is a stumper.
And you know what? And it's not for everybody. It's not for the hardcore horror fan because they're going to be looking for blood, guts, and gore,
yeah,
something
but
insane.
Blood, guts, and gore.
And you're not going to see it. You're not going to see your torture porn that's been coming out the last few years. You're not going to see that.
This is more psychological.
This is a psychological, but it's the twist that I love. Uh-huh. And I loved it because I am a huge fan of Don't Look Now. That is one of my favorite movies of all time. And to incorporate that twist ending, that is awesome. To me, two thumbs up. They get kudos for that. So I was jonesing. So everybody go see Orphan. Please, go see it. It is good, I swear. That ending, I'm like, oh, I want to go back and see it. Just to see, now that I know the disgustingness. Teeth. All I'm saying is teeth. Well, now that I know the disgustingness factor, I want to go back and look so I can be horrified every time they touched her or hugged her. It disgusts me. It absolutely disgusts me, I tell you.
So how many sets of teeth does this one get, Gigi?
Thanks, Nathan. Thanks. No. I'm telling you, I love it. Go see that movie. And I went in thinking, oh, it's going to be like every little kid movie I've ever seen.
No.
and I'm telling you guys, Don't Look Now. I'm not even going to get into it. But I'm going to be posting. I used to write my movie reviews. I used to write them out. I'm going to start posting these on the website, like make a separate little thing so you guys can check it out. So I've got reviews on a bunch of crazy movies. So go on there. If there's something you've not seen, it'll give you a little synopsis of what's going on without revealing spoilers. I do not reveal spoilers in my stuff. You can dissect a movie without revealing to people who haven't seen it a spoiler. There's ways to write around that. So feel free, go in, peruse. I'm going to definitely try to get that going within the next week or so. I don't know, though, because the move to the new studio is kind of overwhelming everything. But we're definitely going to try our hardest to get that working and operational as soon as possible. Anyway, so The Orphan. Good times. Or it's just called Orphan, whatever. Good times on that. Do you agree, please?
Without a doubt.
Okay. Now, the movie I was jonesing, like jumping out of my chair to see, because I have been getting, you know, I get all my little horror bits and news like months in advance when a movie's being shot. You know, then you start to get sneak peeks, then you start to get sneak clips, you start to get sneak frames, you know, little stuff comes out, you start to see Comic-Con events covering stuff. So excitement builds about certain movies. This movie, not a lot of excitement built around it, But I had a particular idea of what it could be, and I got excited. And so I saw a sneak peek trailer, like, God, months ago or whatever, and I was jonesing. I was like, I want to see this. I just want to see what they do with this, because if they do it the way I'm hoping, it's going to be amazing. It's going to be absolutely amazing. So we went and saw The Collector, okay? I love the sound effects to each movie. Now, The Collector, I was jonesing to see this, right? Because I had an idea of what they could do with this character. I had a total idea, like total homage 1970s style killer. Totally, I had this crazy thing. I mean, I think the movie I came up with in my head was far better than the movie I watched. Because I'm telling you, the stuff I came up with, and you know what? It was great as far as the stuff I was coming up with in my head. So I was jonesing to see it. It was literally like, it came out this Friday, guys. The whole week, I have been gnawing things, gnawing computers and pillows and mics, and I've been gnawing myself, whatever, gnawing one-eyed monsters. Oh, so I've been gnawing things, jonesing to see this, right? Well, I'm excited. I go see it. I'm thinking, yeah, good times, good times. Yeah. Yeah. It isn't a bad movie. I'm not going to say it's bad in the slightest. It was interesting enough, and definitely if you're a horror fan, what you're going to get into is there's a lot of the torture aspect in it. There's a lot of the, a lot of blood, definitely some great special effects. I mean, some of the effects in this movie, kudos to them, man. That was some good stuff that they had coming out there. So if you are truly a horror fan as far as effects are concerned, you're going to love it. You're going to absolutely love it. There's some really cool, some neat little different tricks that they had. My favorite, just a quick little synopsis for everybody. Obviously, you've seen the trailers. A burglar gets into this house, and he's going to steal this, stone or whatever. And there's somebody else in the house, and they're not interested in cash or, jewelry or anything. They're interested in collecting bodies and humans and parts and torture and stuff like that. So it's this whole thing. So they face off for most of the movie. Well, I loved the fact that there's two things I absolutely love about this movie, okay? I'm not going to even lie. I loved the shots. Some of the shots, especially the overhead Raimi shots, man, those shots are classic. I love them because they're so mounting horror, like, they're an unusual angle to the eye, which intrigues you to watch it. But then the way that it's positioned, down on you, attack could come from anywhere. Whereas you have a regular shot, the attack's going to come from a certain way. An overhead shot, the attack can come from 360. You have no idea. You don't see too much in front of you. You don't see too much behind you. You don't know where they're going. You don't know where they are. I mean, there's so many variables that go with those shots. It's amazing. I love them. And especially a lot of other camera shots in this movie were really well selected, I think. It's back to Psycho when Hitchcock threw the camera overhead when Mother Bates came out and killed the detective and he fell down the stairs. That shot is classic. It's a great shot. It leaves so much terror, just bound and just, about to come out and explode all over the screen. So I loved it. Second thing I loved is that the main character in the story didn't actually ever encounter the killer until, the last quarter of the movie. Three quarters of the movie, it was cat and mouse. Yep. The killer didn't even know this guy was in the house for three quarters of the movie. You had an entire story unfold in front of you without the killer ever knowing that there was any story to be unfolding. That is cool. That's a little different take. You have to look at it from a different perspective, but that's awesome. That the killer has no clue that there's a story unfolding, that the audience is seeing some story unfolding, that there's another man in the house creating a whole myriad of events surrounding this. Very cool, very cool. Other than that, I wasn't too impressed. I'm not impressed with the killer. Because, and this is what pisses me off about it, people are hailing this as one of the next horror icons.
No.
Really?
No.
Really? No. No. He was good. He was interesting. You know what he was? He was interesting from a Silence of the Lambs perspective.
Yeah.
He was a little Buffalo Billish with some of his mannerisms and quirks. That's it. That's it. I mean, this is not a horror icon. I'm not going to be, like, wearing a collector t-shirt going, he's the coolest.
Right.
No, he's not a Michael or a Freddy or a Jason or even a tall man, you know. He's not any of that. No. So I disagree with that. I do. I'm going to say Ixnay on the horror icon thing, the killer subpar. But I do love the eyes, the killer's eyes.
Yeah.
That was badass. That's the only thing I liked about the killer. Oh, and the other thing I really loved about the movie was it was ingenious, those little traps set up.
Yes.
You would literally turn around. The camera would literally turn around. You were just in this spot a minute ago. You make your way back in this myriad of events, and there's a booby trap there that was not there a minute ago. Awesome.
Very
awesome. And just the mind frame, you know, the killer had to be in to do this. And the traps, you know, how they were set up, the thought behind the traps, taking what you do every day and making it a trap.
Mm-hmm.
What's our first instinct when somebody's there? And you have a shelf with vases, a pair of scissors, this and that. What are you going to do? You're going to grab the pair of scissors. Oh, you just set off a booby trap, which launched you into a wall of spikes. Oops. You know? Or what's your first thing, you know? I'm going to try to get out of a house, right? So you're going to run towards the door, right? Well, he's got booby traps set up along the floor. You rig trip wires, stuff like that. I love the chandelier full of knives.
Uh-huh.
That was awesome. Like, who puts, I mean, who, you know, you see movies where chandeliers are dangerous or evil or kill people. Who rigs the chandelier with knives? And then you open it, and it's like this whole myriad of trip wires that set this off to, like, oh, it's awesome.
It was very intricate.
The traps. The animal trap in the dining room,
that was cool. I'm saying points, there was a couple of really interesting kills
in
this movie. They had some really good kills in this movie.
I was not disappointed. I'm going to say I was not disappointed. I was disappointed from the aspect of what I thought this movie was going to be and what I thought they could have done with the killer. I'm sorry, I don't really like average human killers. I, my favorite hobby is serial killers, yes, but for some reason I don't like them in my horror movies. They just don't add enough pizzazz for me, you know what I'm saying? I don't get it.
I
don't get it. They pizzazz my life, but they don't pizzazz my horror. I don't get it. I just don't get it. You know, I like a little trick. I like a little quirk. I like a little something, you know, like our Michaels and our Jasons, and I like a little quirk. I like a little something different. And, I mean, he was too Buffalo Bill Silence of the Lambs for me, but that's what I just put too much into it. That's all.
Right.
There's definitely a lot of redeeming qualities about this flick.
Yep.
Lots of blood, lots of cool traps that they set
cool
up.
Cool torture.
Really, yeah.
I probably broke all the bones in the hand of the person I saw it with because I was just wiggling in my chair and squeezing as I was looking at some of these tortures that they did. So the tortures were done really well, really intricate.
Let me guess.
Good effect.
I'm going to tell me if I'm right. Is one of the things you screamed about is that, was it the fish hooks?
Oh, God.
Just such cool stuff, little stuff.
Really?
Little crazy stuff that you would never think. I mean, you know they're dangerous, but you don't apply them in the same sense that the guy applies them.
The writing was great. I mean,
exactly.
Whoever thought this out, very...
It's actually the tag team that wrote some of the later Saw films. Saw films that aren't even out yet. Saw 6, they're writing Saw 7. So they're a really good team. A lot of people were anxious to see this. Like I said, it's not a bad movie. It's not a bad movie. It's just don't go expecting this to be the next horror icon.
And I was a little disappointed that there was no backstory. Like, why did this guy lose his mind? I like my backstories.
I like
to know about Michael Myers and Freddy.
No!
Why they went
no.
insane. And now I don't
no care. Motive is scarier than a motive.
No, I want
yes,
to know
Yes, it is.
His mother made him wear girl clothes.
It's far,
school
no!
Went
no!
Yes.
It's far scarier. What you don't know and what you don't see is far scarier than what you do see and what you do know. It's all your imagination. You could create so many different stories off of what you don't know. Then you know something, you're like, well, that sucks. Why? Another reason why Rob Zombie's Halloween didn't work. Okay, the first Halloween, Michael Myers didn't really have a backstory. He had a little bit, but a lot was left to chance. You know, they didn't peg everything down correctly. Basically, Michael Myers in the first one was just a good, clean-cut kid from a middle class, upper middle class neighborhood, nothing wrong, wasn't being abused, wasn't being sexually abused, had a great life, and he flipped. That's scary. when you have no reason to flip and you become one of the biggest serial killers in history, that's far scarier. Then you get Rob Zombie, and he's like, his mom suddenly a stripper, and he's got a, like a step boyfriend daddy that's like abusing him, and then he's got like a whore sister, and he's white trash. All of a sudden, he's a mullet. No! It's like, what? That's like that's like an after school special. That's not a damn Michael Myers backstory. Come on, not everything has to be white trash, okay? But it's far, is it, let me ask you, is it far scarier to see all the stupid crap that Rob Zombie conducted for Michael? Is it far scarier to know there was no reason for a 6-year-old to flip and become one of the biggest mass murderers in history?
Well, all right, I suppose the second
what's scarier?
Scarier?
Like, what to you would be more?
I just, all right, I'll give you, I prefer my Michael Myers without the mullet. I'll give you that.
God, that's just horrible. And the second one's coming out. And I just,
I the first one wasn't enough misery.
I was giving hope. I was so giving hope for the second one being fun.
No, the previews look like
they
hell.
Combined like the fourth and fifth movie and the second movie.
No.
What? Oh, and some news for you guys out there before we cut over and go to our guests. A little bit of news for you. Rob Zombie is supposedly, rumor has it, signed on to do Halloween 3. Season of the Witch.
Oh, God.
Which, if all, I mean, all you horror fans out there know, has no Michael Myers. So this should be interesting. As long as he keeps the damn masks, I may be in for that. Anyway, we're going to come on. So when we come back, we're going to have a horror sinisteria author on. A great gal. Somebody that everybody should be reading right now. When we come back, we're going to have Andrea Vanskoya.
And now a word from our sponsors.
Once upon a time there was an engineer. Choo-choo Charlie was his name, we hear. He sure had fun. He used good and plenty candy to make his brain run.
Charlie says, well, my good and plenty. Charlie says, really rings the bell. Charlie says, well, my good and plenty. Don't know any other candy that I love so well.
Oh, my gosh. I'm sorry. We absolutely love our giddy little kitschy commercials around here. Yes, how odd. We just talked about serial killers and slaughter and horror.
Choo-choo-choo! I like my good bodies.
Michael Myers really rings my bell.
Oh, my gosh. Anyway, we have somebody fantastic on for you guys, and I know everybody out there is chomping at the bit, drooling all over the place. We got somebody absolutely fantastic. This girl is amazing. Her resume, it's too endless. We would be here for like 6 days if we were talking about all the accomplishments, the awards, just the body of work that she has produced. My God, the woman's amazing. I'm dry humping her when she comes on. That's it. That's all I'm saying. Anyway, welcome, famous author, one of the baddest chicks in the universe, Miss Andrea Vanskoya. Are you there?
I'm here. Wow, and who's this awesome chick you're talking about? It couldn't possibly be me.
Is she there in the room with you? Where'd she go? Oh, no,
kidding. I just kicked her ass out of here.
How are you?
I am great. I'm great. How are you?
Oh, my gosh. Well, I mean, we got to talk about the exciting news. Your new vampire novel just came out this weekend.
Yes, it did. The official date was yesterday. It's not out in stores yet. It'll take a couple of weeks to wind through the system like it does. Like with everything else, there's always bureaucracy involved, and you got to wait for this and that and the other. But it should be out actually in stores and orderable within the next couple of weeks.
Oh, my gosh. And I mean, where can everybody go to see this? Because we have to get this out there. People are going to be ordering now. I'm going to be talking to you and ordering now.
Well, thank you. The best way to keep up with everything that I do is subscribe to my blog on MySpace, and you can always visit my website. And if all else fails, you can go to my publisher and say, hey, jerk a knot in it. Get it going. Get it out there faster.
We want it. Well, I mean, you are just – your body of work is amazing. You've done just about everything, zombies and vampires, supernatural creatures of every kind of little dimension. I got to ask, everybody's kind of jonesing to know, where do you come up with your horror characters? Like, do you just whatever you jones to write about that week, or?
Oh, yeah, just they're all lurking in the twisted, demented recesses of my mind, so I just bring them out and introduce them to the world.
you sure know how to get to a girl's heart. We're all sitting here, oh, we're home. So that's awesome.
I do love my creepy characters very much.
Now, you have been pegged as one of the foremost horror sinisteria authors. Can you kind of give a little definition as to what that is? Because people are going, oh, what?
Horror sinisteria. Boy, I could write a book on that just by itself. Horror sinisteria is horror that is erotic, sick, twisted, disgusting, depraved, makes people say, oh, my God, that's just so wrong. But the thing with it is there's actually a storyline there, and from what people say, a good one. It's not just schlock thrown into a book for a shock factor, and people say, oh, my God, it was sick and it was weird. I'm not really sure what it was about, but you know, hopefully people won't say that with my books. At least they haven't so far. But as for the horror sinisteria term, people keep saying, oh, how did you come up with that genre? And I keep saying, I didn't come up with that genre. That's just what everyone started calling it, and it kind of stuck. I remember discussing it one time on a message board, and people were saying, well, your books aren't really horror. And I'm like, okay, well, then what would you call them? And they're like, well, they're kind of horror in a way just because what's in them. But then they're sinister, and they're sick and twisted and erotic, too, and maybe they're just kind of like horror sinisteria, and it's stuck. So I was like, okay, yeah, whatever. As long as you buy, I don't care what you call it.
Just buy books.
Just buy my books. You can call it, I don't care, I don't care. Call it, you know, cat litter. I don't care. Just buy them.
I'd like to buy the newest cat litter.
There's a genre called cat litter, and that's where all of Andrea Dean Van Scoy's stuff goes.
Well, we're not going to get into it, but I do have to bring it up. Speaking of cat litter, do share with me how you feel about the film industry and not, you know, all these, this wonderful, like you said, cat litter being produced when wonderful books like yours are yet to be picked up.
Oh, actually, I wouldn't even be as kind to say cat litter. I'll just go right on the air and say cat shit. I mean, honestly, I'm looking at all these remakes and I'm like, okay, I just don't get it. I don't get it. What is with Hollywood? Why won't they take a chance? And it doesn't even have to be Hollywood. I'd be happy if some indie producer that doesn't have their head up their ass, like 8 out of 10 of them that I've met have, would come along and say, hey, we'd like to make your stuff into movies. But for anyone out there listening, don't email me and say, oh, well, hey, I'd really love to make your stuff into movies, but I'm not familiar with it. Can you email me the PDF of it? No, you cheap MF. I can't. And I won't.
Buy my book. That's it.
That's it. That's it. But it's, you wouldn't believe how many people email me, and they're like, oh, I'd really love to get to know more about your stuff. Yeah, well, then buy my book, you cheap bastard. Don't email me about it. But they're like, oh, well, can you send me a PDF? Nope, not anymore. The charitable Andrea back a few years ago, back when I was eager to please, would have now. I'd be like, kiss my ass, buy my book.
See, and this is why we love you.
But yeah, I just, for the, all the remakes in Hollywood, it's just, it's making me really sick, because there's people out there who've been waiting 4 years hoping that my book, A Man of Two Worlds, will be made into a movie. There's people out there that have wanted to see my book, Michael, made into a movie. Other people that have said my short story collections would be good made into a movie, some kind of like creep show type of thing, like Twilight Zone or something like that. And then there's other people that have wanted to see my vampire stuff made into movies, but it kills me when the Hollywood says, oh, we want new, original, and fresh things.
And yes, they're making Saw 8. Yay! That's exactly what we wanted to see.
I think I'm like one of the only people on the planet that thinks that, no. Somebody gave me the Saw movie, and I was like, and?
What's next?
And? Somebody bought me Saw 2, and I was like, no.
You have the same views that I have about Hollywood, that, you know, bust the guts out of Hollywood. I promote everybody to do it. You know, you have the same thing in my frame that I have about remakes and indie filmmakers and all sorts of good stuff. But like you said, not all indie filmmakers are bad, but there's a lot of you out there that just because you pay $6,000 for a camera does not mean you have talent of a filmmaker. Just putting it out there. Once again.
And I've even told people, hey, my books are so in-depth, you could just take bits and pieces and just film movies off of those. And they just, they kind of look at me like, oh, okay. And it's like, yes, if you make movies, I weep for the future of filmmaking. I really do.
This is why we gouge our eyes out, all the crap. No, I'm excited. I mean, after starting to check out some of your stuff, and I mean, you have an impressive body of work. Not only are you a very well-known published author, not only are you a hit at the convention, but you have two, not one, as if one would be enough. You have two really, really successful magazines.
Yeah, I do, and I'm quite proud of it.
What the hell are you taking, and where can we get them?
Actually, I'm taking the industry can kiss my ass route. And that's exactly why I started my magazines. The last straw, when I was eager and starting out, I wanted my works to be read, and so I would go check out all the magazines, all of the well-known, quote-unquote, magazines, and I would follow their guidelines to a T, and half the time they wouldn't like my work, and I was like, well, that's okay, I'll just keep trying, because back then I was all eager and wide-eyed and still had on the rose-colored glasses. And the last straw was when I submitted to a magazine. They claimed that they wanted all original material, and they liked things that were different, and they rejected the piece that I sent them, and I thought, well, this is a really well-known magazine, so I'll go back and read their guidelines once more and see if I can just think of anything I can do different. So I did that and checked out one of their stories that they had, actually their star story that they were just raving about. It was a lame, and I'm talking really lame, retelling of the Three Billy Goats Gruff. And that was when I said, this is original. This is crap.
That was the plot of Saw 6. They didn't tell you. They're slipping it in there. That's the plot of Saw 6. It just got bought.
Something, I'm telling you. So I kind of said, you know, look, I can do better myself, and I don't even know how to run a magazine, but I'll figure it out. If this is the kind of crap the industry is looking for, then I'll just start my own magazine. And now it has grown by leaps and bounds to the point to where I'm amazed. I really am. But I figure there's got to be people out there like me who aren't afraid to speak their minds and who isn't afraid to tell the industry to kiss their ass. See, that's the thing. People are like, well, do you really think with your attitude you're going to get somewhere, because you're going to piss somebody off? And I say, good. Good.
That's what it's about, is pissing people off. Why are we following the grain of everybody else? We'll never find anything new. Or
the industry doesn't pay my salary. My fans pay my salary. They're the ones that buy my books. So as long as they're happy, I'm happy.
Oh, see, and that's awesome, because too few people appreciate their fans. And, I mean, you, like you said, you are just, speaking of your fans, you have an enormous fan base. You're just absolutely well-known all over the place. I already said I was going to dry hump you when you came on. You can't.
I heard that. Thank you. I've had lots of interesting offers, but never one like that before. That's cool.
I can't see it, but I'm dry humping you as we speak. I hope it's as good for you as it is for me. Now, how do you feel? I mean, you've done some acting work in the past. Now, is that something that you think you may be pursuing more in the future, or are you just kind of like, with that?
Well, I'm kind of in between. I'd like to pursue it, but I'm kind of because it's like every filmmaker I run into is just a total moron. And let me give you an example. People will laugh when they read my MySpace profile. They'll either laugh or they'll say, oh, my God, this is the biggest bitch I've ever seen in my life. But that's okay, by the way. I had this filmmaker contact me the other day. Now, I've known this filmmaker for a couple of years. And he makes independent movies, which is, hey, great, fine. That's what my magazine, Twisted Dreams, is all based on, everything independent. So I'm all about indies. I'm great at that. So he contacts me and says, here's my new movie coming out. And I thought, I care. Why? I've known you for how many years, you little dweeblet moron?
Dweeblet moron.
You live in Orlando, which is where I'm from. I have told you half a dozen million gazillion times that I will do a cameo, a walk-on, whatever you'd like me to do in your movie for free. And have you ever taken me up on the offer? No. No, you send me crap on my face, peddling your newest craptacular creation like I care. And this is what I run into. I tell people all the time to take a break from my writing, I like to do cameos and walk-ons. And I don't charge people. I don't say, oh, if I'm going to do a walk-on in your movie, you have to pay me $50. Now, if you're out of state or if it's going to require any kind of travel, of course, you're going to have to take care of my travel arrangement for me. But other than that, I don't come there with this gaggle of attorneys and got my publicist and everybody with me and say, okay, now you better be prepared to roll out the red carpet for me. I don't do anything like that. So I would like to do a little bit parts in movies, cameos, walk-ons, you know, speaking line or two. But until people can get their heads out of their asses, no thanks. It's just not worth the aggravation.
See, and I couldn't agree with that more. It's there's a lot of indie filmmakers out there, the ones that we're referencing, that just, I don't know where they come from, where their brains are. They just absolutely, they want everything for free, but they're not willing to help anybody out. They're not willing to do the scratch my back, I'll scratch yours thing.
Yeah, they do everything for me, and then you drop
it. They expect you to do it for them, and they're like, oh, okay, well, you should just be happy that you're in my movie. Yeah, your piece of shit movie that's going to sit in your shelf in your closet? Oh, cool. Thanks. Oh, my God. See, and that's just fantastic. Well, I hope that anybody that contacts you, and I'm talking directly to the audience out there, do not contact her with crap. Please give her a good role. She needs to get out there.
I am not a New York Times best-selling author. I am a bestseller through Borders and that is through Amazon. So do not get me for bit parts in your movie or whatever else and think you're going to use my name to carry your movie because it ain't going to happen. I've learned that too. And it's like, who do you think got you? I'm a flatter, but here's a reality check for you. So just as long as people don't think that I'm going to carry your movie for them.
Oh, my gosh. See, and I think that's fantastic that you're kicking ass. And I don't care. I mean, if people call you a bitch, that's fine. I mean, we all know you're a bitch, but, you know, whatever.
Yeah, that's true.
No, I don't care if people say it because that's the attitude. Your attitude is what's needed in this industry. We need to dismantle Hollywood. We need to dismantle all these, you know, egotistical artists, writers, you know, musicians, all these people that have gotten there on the blood, sweat, and tears of other people. And, yeah, they may have put in their hard work, but for more or less, they just use people and spit them out. We need to dismantle all this. And you are at the forefront, my friend. You are busting these barriers down.
Well, thank you. I'm trying. He's a professional editor, reviewer, and wrote a gift that I can't teach in any college and had the ability to tell a fascinating and totally enduring story of the growth one who said it. And then he went on to tell me, oh, but you need to work on your camera, you need to work on that. And I said, people don't talk the way you write. And I said, obviously, you never leave your house. Why don't you try going to the mall? Why don't you try going to your local cafe? You will see that people do speak the way I write. And that is why I the large space. Because people, my work realistic. They're realistic. Rich. They're not rich like a college manual for putting together a cracker out of the bar. And they're not with 15 pages of fluff and 5 or 6 pages of description of the gate. And 24 paragraphs of the description of the door, and
what?
Kind of like that. And
you are
said, I really appreciate the what you had to tell me, your honesty, your candidness. I really appreciate that. However, I think rather than listening to you being, you're not a bestseller, you're not an award winner, I've never even heard of you. I think I'll choose to listen to my fans that line up at my table at conventions.
Right.
And the time that I have sold out on Amazon.
Oh,
I've never heard back from him again.
She and that.
And he wanted to write like everyone else in the industry.
Oh, my God. See, and that's exactly what everybody's doing. You know, they're following, Ooh, everyone's on this bandwagon now. Ooh, everyone's doing torture porn. We should do that too so we can make some money and we can get famous. Or all these ghost hunters out here. Oh my God, we should do exactly what the next person's doing because we want to get a show. Oh, how about like preserving, you know, yourself and your work? And how about getting out there and doing something different, shaking people up and making them think? What about doing some Hitchcock stuff, slapping people in the face and you know, getting them to wake up from reality, you know, and you know, their little delusions of their corporate worlds? I don't know. I don't know. I'm with you, girl. That's all I'm saying. No, look,
well, I'm happy for people to want to make my books into the movies. I'm happy with anything that anyone wants to contact me about. Just don't waste my time.
See, and that's fabulous. And now the website again, isn't that you want everybody to go to the lost, the forgotten, the damned.com?
Yes, that's it.
Awesome.
And anyone to look me up on myspace.com /scribe.
And see, we're going to have a permanent link up, guys. So anytime, if you can't get to her now, if you can't get to her in 5 minutes, which you should because you need to be buying all of her work, you can get to her anytime by going to our space because the GG Hour supports her and her work. So, gosh, thank you so much for coming out. We're actually out of time. I'm like, that was like the easiest interview I've ever done.
We'll just have you back, and we'll just try and tear down more people.
Next time you come back, I'm going to be like, oh, now let's just pick a topic. What are we talking about? Oh, my God. I wish we had...
If it's anything like our conversation that we had the other night on the phone, oh, we'll be on the phone for like 3 or 4 hours. People will be pissing themselves.
Guys,
on the floor laughing, holding their sides.
You guys don't even understand. We were on the phone Friday night, and oh, my God, we were talking about everything and anything. We were bashing this, bashing that, and, yeah, screw that, God. Oh, it was awesome.
I think we were on the phone for an hour just talking about how much we hate about everything.
Yeah, I think we did. We were bonded in our mutual hatred of corporate machines. That was awesome. No,
I am so behind y'all. Love y'all to pieces. You're so awesome.
Well, you are coming back on the show, right?
Oh, absolutely. Anytime you want me, just let me know.
Okay, don't lie to me now. I don't want to hear it. You better be.
Oh, please, I don't lie. No, because, no. Don't even get me started. If you get me off on a tangent on, like, the idiots I've had to deal with this past week on MySpace alone, I'm going to be all night.
Well, guess what? When you come back, we're going to be talking about all sorts of deliciously gory topics.
Wonderful gore. That's my thing.
I know. I'm like, yeah. But see, the audience, they were like, what? You know, we were getting, you know, inquiries in and everything. Well, wait. I mean, I kind of heard of it. Well, what is she doing? This and that. I'm like, listen to the show. Because then you'll be exposed to her, and then you can go and buy all of her work, check out her website, and just immerse yourself in her world. So,
yep. And add me on MySpace.
Awesome. Thank you so much for coming on.
Oh, thank you for having me. I can't wait to come on again.
Awesome. And, yeah, definitely, you're coming on again, and I'm not taking no for an answer, so I don't care what you're doing.
I won't give you a no. That's okay. I'll come on.
It's not going to tell me no.
No way. It's not going to tell you no.
We love you, girl. Thank you so much for coming on.
Love you, too. Thank you for having me on.
All right. Have a nice night.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye. Oh, my God, guys. Oh, my God. That was awesome. She's crazy. I love her. She's exactly the same mind frame that I have about remakes and Hollywood and you know, all these people that walk around like, well, I've just done this and that. Really? No, you didn't. You just copied off the guy next to you. Okay, great. Because you want your TV show or you want your movie career or, you know, you want to make $1 million doing this or that. And another cool thing about her is she actually fired her agents. I think she said she went through about 5 agents, fired them all, and is now working on her own, booking her own stuff. And that's awesome. That takes balls right there to get through the industry like that. So I don't know. She's awesome. I say everybody go check out her work. Definitely check out her magazines. I know that I'm definitely going to be using them as probably spank material later. So, I mean, I'm going to read them later. And who cares? She knows I'm humping her anyway. So I'm humping everybody. Yay, come here. It's a group hump.
Don't hurt me again.
Don't make it bleed. Oh, we are so wrong. Look what happens. We go back to an hour. My God, this has been the most, like, psychotic show. We're talking about all sorts of stuff we probably shouldn't be talking about. Oh, I'm glad she came on, though, because that's very cool. I think everybody needs to check out her work. So you know what, guys? We're actually at the end of the line, which is actually exciting, because don't you guys feel amped? Like, you know, we just packed a bunch of crap into a show. That was great. That's the old feelings are coming back, guys. I'm excited. Anyway, you guys can check her out. Her website is www.thelostthforgottenthedamned.com. Check her out. I'm going to have her links up on our page. Go to our website, thatggshow.com, and check out all our cool little links, our cool little blabs. And we're be sure to check back often, though, guys, because we have lots of insane stuff that keeps popping up. So, I don't know. I think we're out of here. I think we're done. We're bringing it down to the wire. We love you guys. Thank you for tuning in to the Gore Girl Variety Hour. Thank you, boils and ghouls.
Marriage is a wonderful thing. My mother never. What I'm about to tell you. First you put your two knees close up tight.
You mean you swing them to the left?
Yes.
And then you swing them to the right?
Oh, my dear. You step around the floor, kind of nice and light. One, two!
And then you twist around and twist around with all your might. Spread your loving arms, clear out of space. You do the rock with style and grace.
You put your left foot out and bring it back. And after what we come on the track.
Thank you.